give a very quick definition. A steward is someone who is tasked to manage and look after someone else's possessions. Right? And from a biblical perspective, the roles, how that will play out in the roles, will be God is the creator, right? He is the possessor of all, and we are called to be the stewards, right? That's the role that we have been tasked with in this short life that we have. But what does this look like, right? And how does this play out in our day-to-day life? To help us answer this, we have our panel here, and I'm going to introduce them really quickly. We have Elder Billy, who is an elder at Christ Central Presbyterian Church, and with him is his wife, Janice. We also have Henry, who is an elder at Christ Church East Bay, and his wife, Miriam, who is also Elder Billy's sister. And you can find a detailed bio in the program. So welcome, and thank you guys for being here and participating. Okay, so let's jump right into our first question. You know, in the Bible, it's clear in passages like 1 Corinthians 4, Luke 16, Matthew 25, that we are given this task of stewardship. I was hoping that we could expand on this and hoping that you guys could answer a simple question. What does stewardship look like in our lives today?
All right, Pastor Simon, I wanted to just take a minute, if it's okay, to try to connect this topic to what we've been talking about this morning, okay? And so I'll sidestep, but I'll go back to answering your question. I think, you know, Pastor Simon just mentioned about how God is a creator, possessor of all things. And so if you go back to Psalm 24:1, there's a verse that says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all that live in it." Okay, so that means that everything that's in this world is God's, and God is in control of everything. And ultimately, it goes back to some of the things we've already been talking about, too, which is what's our purpose? What was God's intention for us, and what were we made for? And, you know, I appreciate what some of the other speakers had talked about going back to Genesis 1 through 3. And I just want to reemphasize this because I think it's utterly important in terms of what our identity is, what we're intended for. And so if you look at God in terms of what he has done going back to his creation, he was the original worker. He was the creator, created the world in 6 days. Each day he said, it is good. 6 days he said, it's very good. And then, as Pastor Daniel had mentioned, going back, he had then told Adam to be fruitful, to multiply. He's also told him to basically to tend to the garden. And in chapter 2, it says, you know, for he put man in place in the garden to work it and keep it. And so there's an element of creation in itself, that we are cultivating, we are making something new, we are also, in a sense, sustaining, we are taking care of creation, which then connects back to stewardship, right? And so stewardship actually has a very existential, right, origin, going back to the beginning. In terms of what God has intended for us and what he's made us for. And, so when you think about connecting back to the verse about God owning everything, so, and, you know, that also means in terms of everything about who we are and what we're made of and all the things that we have within ourselves. So meaning all of our resources, right, our money, our time, our experiences, our positions of authority, our relationships, our networks, and you can go on and on, Right? We're stewards of all of these different things that God has given us. And for what? For what purpose, though? And I think part of that, we have to go back to, what is God doing in the present age? What is he doing in this age of already but not yet? He is working to bring people to Christ, right? To bring sinners, lost sinners, to salvation. And he's also currently, you know, sustaining this world and maintaining order and making sure that, you know, he's holding back his full wrath upon us until or for those that will be condemned until judgment day. And, you know, that's theological. There's a theological word called common grace associated with that. And I think, you know, one of the things then, going back to then our purpose, is we are called to be co-workers with him in his purposes. We are called, and he is using us as vessels for his glory in doing his work in terms of salvation for the lost, but also in terms of sustaining order and everything that he's doing in terms of from a common grace perspective. So what does that mean for us today in terms of stewardship? What does that look like? I think what that means is that stewardship actually should impact, you know, all spheres of life. And so when I think about that, that means we should be bringing our whole selves to all the spheres of our life. So whether that's in church and what we do in church and serving of the church, but also in our workplaces, wherever we are, in our families, in our communities, and everywhere. And it should impact how we also approach various different things as well. So whether it's dealing with social issues and things like that, and So I think ultimately it impacts all spheres of life, and we're called to use all that we have for to bring God's glory in all spheres.
Okay. So yeah, just to add on a little bit to that, I think when you talk about stewardship, there's a couple of different things that kind of immediately come to mind, and I think you have to really buy into it. I mean, it can't be something that you do part way. It can't be something that is kind of more of an afterthought. And I think one of the biggest struggles that people have in being stewards, proper stewards, is not fully embracing that fundamental understanding that your money is not your own, but it's God's. It starts from God. It's a gift from God. And you know, we've already talked about the biblical references, Psalm 24 or 2 Genesis or 2 Corinthians, where it talks about that everything is God's and it comes from God and it's a blessing from God. And I think that's the first thing, getting over kind of that mental hurdle that that you're just a steward of what he's given you. But then also, it's once you have that kind of understanding, it's okay, well, what do you do with it? How do you kind of get to that next step? And I think it's also important to realize that being a steward is an act of worship to God. So I think everyone always kind of talks about 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and that's the largest section in the Bible where it talks about money. And if you were just to kind of meditate upon those two chapters, really try to soak it in, 2 Corinthians 8 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And that this is being a proper steward and using those monies wisely. It's understanding that sacrificial love that Christ made, that that he became poor so that you might become rich, that we kind of develop that healthy attitude of our possessions will then allow you to use it freely, because understanding that is an act of worship towards God.
offer this on a slightly different perspective. For me, being a steward is living my life, right? I'm either going to be a good one or a bad one. Like, I am a steward, period. So am I going to be a good one, a bad one, or what? And for me, being a steward brings great joy and great freedom, because I'm a lawyer and I went to Harvard and, you know, grew up around a lot of kids who were asking themselves, what's the purpose in life? What am I supposed to do with my life? You know, is this all there is? And now at the law firm, like, is this really all there is? And the way I view life is so different. The way I view life is my whole identity is in being a daughter of God who's made in God's image and has Christ as my Lord. So my whole existence, my whole purpose is about, you know, living out God's calling for me. And for me, that's as a lawyer who advocates for justice for my clients and for my community. And how do I go about doing that? And it brings great freedom, because I don't have to ask, like, is this all there is? You know, is this, what am I supposed to be doing? If I'm secure in my identity and in what God has called me to do, it brings great freedom, great joy, great confidence in knowing this is what I'm doing, this is who I'm doing it for. And if I screw up and if I mess up here and I mess up there, that's okay, because ultimately this is God's work. These are God's people, these are God's causes, and he will ensure that justice is done. I am just one tool in God's overall plan, so that overwhelming burden I might otherwise feel, I don't need to feel, because it's God's work. It's God's family. The overwhelming burden I might feel as a mom. Like, people ask me, how can you, like, work at a law firm and have two kids? And you know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna.
You have a great husband.
Yes, number one, I have a great husband. Yeah, no, that is so true. I mean, Henry is God's gift to me, no question about it. But, like, you know.
This is recorded, right?
It's true. So that I don't have to have the burden of, are my kids going to go to a great college? Or are my kids going to get screwed up? Like, ultimately, they are God's children. God is going to make sure that they are what he wants them to be. I have to do my part in making sure I don't get in the way and that I do what God wants me to do. But ultimately, God will make that happen. So that brings great freedom, great joy, great relief in my life. And I would not want to live my life any other way.
All right. Any last comments? Okay. Yeah, thank you guys for sharing about that. Everyone's time and money and, you know, their energy and life, it's precious, right? And you guys have touched on, like, how you guys have viewed things differently, and that really ties into the motivation. I kind of want to put you guys on the spot here. Has there ever been a time when you were really unmotivated and it was really hard? And what advice would you have? How did you get past that mentality of, like, you know, it's just tough to give up sometimes your time and money, right? So, like, any advice from your personal experience or something you guys can share, wisdom in how to overcome that?
Wants to start.
Elder Billy.
All right, I'll start. Okay. Give these other guys some time to think. I think there's many times, right? Many times. Of course, I'm a fallen being, and I, you know, face a lot of the, you know, setbacks in life, you know, whether it's during work or, you know, not being as good of a father as I want to be or good of a husband. But, you know, I think, you know, the advice that I have is, What always works is to just go back to God in prayer and to recognize, my purpose and identity. And I think it's just going back to the core of who I am. And again, kind of what I started with talking about is what is my purpose, and going back and reconnecting with God to say, yes, this is what I was intended to do. This is what you made me to do. And also looking back on those that have gone before us, the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and some closer than others, especially like my family members, and specifically like my grandfather and my grandmother, who were model Christians, people who were great stewards for the Lord. And it's one of those things for me where it's like, yeah, there's this heritage of faith that is precious and brings me back that, God will be faithful. I need to trust. I need to go back and, continue to try and strive in this life and being a better steward. And so, yeah, so there's going to be moments you fail, but you get back up, and part of which what I'll also be talking about in my resilience seminar. So.
Yeah, I think also there needs to be what also helps is a degree of accountability. I think it's never easy to talk about money, or particularly your own money. So I would encourage everyone to find someone, not your spouse. Because you guys are in kind of the same boat together, but find someone else that you can talk honestly with and share with. You don't have to say, oh, I'm making whatever. But what we do on the session at our church is we share with one another how much we're tithing, and it's a regular practice that we do. Periodically, and we're all a community. We're all in this together. We're all here to encourage one another, and to offer accountability for one another. So I think periodic check-ins with someone that you can really trust, talk to, and be honest with, especially someone that you can share with at particular times. If it's a hard time at whatever time, that can really challenge you and encourage you in the right direction.
Okay. This one's for Janice. So, we talked a lot about the theological reasons, right? Of stewardship and why we should be a steward. And now I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about practical things. And so I was wondering if you could share, what are some practical things that we could do to be good stewards? And, especially giving some insight into different life stages as well, how to be a good steward as a college student and as a single working professional, as a mom, what are some practical things, advice could you offer on how to be a good steward?
I think it's important that everybody discovers and also exercises their spiritual gifts. Everyone is gifted in something, and if you don't know, then you can come talk to your pastors or your leaders. But it's important that we find what that is so that we can use that and we can be stewards of those gifts. It's going to be different, of course, like you said, in different life stages. I would say, as a youth student or as a college student where you don't have money and you can't be stewards of, giving, it would be with your time and with your energy. What are you spending it on? Are you spending it on things that are of worth? Is it spending money and eating out, or is it spending it with building others up within your ministry? As
a young working professional, I think the biggest struggle is always money, especially in the Bay Area where living is really tight. You're living month to month, but where does your money go? Again, also, where does your time and energy go? Like, are you being lazy or are you being, you know, full of energy and serving others and doing things within church? As a mom or as a parent, I think it's important to be, you know, you're a steward to your children and how you are teaching them and raising them to be godly people. So,
two things. So, at our church, we talk a lot about tithing, time, treasure, or talents. Right. So, not everyone's in a position where they can financially give to the church, whether you are in college, whether you were just laid off, whether you're looking for a new job, whether you're in some sort of transition. So if you are in one of those stages, you know, it's what are the other ways in which you can give to the church, whether that be in time that you spend or other kind of resources, whatever your abilities, you know, might be, you know, whether if you're a teacher volunteering at the children's church or what have you. But that also, you know, would mean that when you do get to a stage where you can start to give to be able to have that maturity and realize, okay, look, now I am in a position where I can start to give to kind of try to make that transition to the next step. The other thing that I would say is have a plan. So number one, everything starts with prayer, right? So you got to pray about it. Number two, make a budget. How much are you going to give? What's your goal? And how are you going to get there? You know, I would encourage you, you know, if you are at a point where you can only give 2% of your gross, then try to say, well, in the next year or the next year and a half, I'm going to give 3%. And then make that plan, make that budget and how to get there. And then number three is what I mentioned before, have that accountability, share that plan with someone and be accountable to that.
Similar to that, I would say with your time and your schedule, I'm all about prioritizing and setting commitments. So that may differ depending on where you are in your life stage. So for me, there have been times in our marriage where we've said, okay, one night a week, I'm gonna stay at work late so that I can get as much work done as I can, or so I can use that time to do client development or networking or community service. Or, you know, I'm gonna have certain things that I commit to. So with my children, I'm gonna commit to whatever it is for you, coaching their soccer team, or I'm gonna commit to being their Sunday school teacher. And I think having certain things you decide, like I'm gonna commit to doing these things, has really helped me, because it, as a parent, I don't know how many of you all are parents, but it really in any life stage you're at, it's impossible to do everything. It's just impossible. And so you really need to like decide what is it that God is really calling me to do in the time that I have. Does he really want me to be at every field trip with my kids? Does he really need me to be the one doing the homework every night with my kids? Or is the more important thing that I be their Sunday school teacher, or that I be the person they do community service with, or I'm the person who reads the Bible with them? Like, what are the things God's calling you? Maybe for some parents, it's everything. For me, that's not what God has called me to do. So deciding sort of in this stage, what are the priorities? The same thing in my career. I'm not going to be everything to everybody. But in my career right now, what are the areas in which I need to grow professionally? And how can I get there? What are the goals that I can set for myself for this 6 months and this one year so that I can become a better lawyer? So that I can become a trusted advisor to my clients? What can I do to learn more about their business, to learn more about the law? And I like to set those goals and make sure I'm constantly doing that and constantly trying to grow professionally, because that's one way that I can be a good steward.
Okay, next question. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Who has influenced you guys the most with regards to stewardship, and what was it about them that, you know, stood out? and made such a good impression for you?
Should I go? Okay, for me, it's my mom, or Elder Billy and my mom. My mother owned a travel agency when we were kids, and then when I got to middle school, she stopped working so she could be full-time at home with us and full-time serving at my dad's church, where Pastor Ben was also serving at the time. And it was just awesome to watch her. I mean, for me as a woman especially, to see my mom like running a business, and then she would get home and we would have dinner, and the way she was able to like manage all that, like I was just in awe. And we had our grandparents living with us, which was huge, and then we had a 10-year age gap between our oldest sister and Elder Billy, who was the youngest. So there were a lot of people around to help. But then also to see how like every Saturday we would do chores, and then she would run errands and like drag us around everywhere to like get everything done. And then she was like, you know, getting ready for church and always having people at the house like after church for session or for this or the staff, and like cooking like a mad woman. And like seeing her do all of that was amazing, because for me, what she was doing more than anything else I saw was investing in the relationships she had. Like, it wasn't so much that she was just like cooking, she was really like fostering and deepening the relationships with us as her children, with my grandparents as her in-laws, with my dad as her husband, with everyone at church, in a way that like now I understand much more fully. But to have been able to observe that, and I think if you don't have someone, you're like, if you can't answer that question, if you sit and reflect on the people in your life, there's probably somebody who like that, who really treated everything they did as an opportunity to invest in the relationships around them and to serve the people around them. And I think that was something I didn't touch on earlier, but I think is really been critical for me too, that when I think about work, it's about serving my clients. It's about getting to know my colleagues and helping show them the love of Christ. It's about serving my community. It's not simply about like garnering professional praise or, you know, it's really about service.
Anyone else?
All right, I'll go. So I already mentioned this a little bit earlier, but my grandparents are definitely, you know, what I kind of look at in terms of people that were stewards that I can really look up to. And just quickly, you know, my grandfather, he lived a life of, you know, as a pastor in Korea. And, you know, my dad's family is actually from the north, and we were in Pyongyang. That's where my family originally was from, until the Korean War happened, and ultimately family came down. But before that, there's a lot of persecution that my grandfather had faced, and yet he stood by his faith, and he used whatever he could to continue to be God's steward, being faithful in his life. And my grandmother, you know, I spent a lot of time with her over the years before she passed away. And my grandmother was one of the ladies who she spent all of her time devoted to God. And she would always be praising God and using her time to pray for other people. And that whole selflessness in terms of living for God, for other people, was just a true mark in her life. And so for me, it's both of them in terms of their lives, and just to show that, hey, that me myself, that I myself, you know, should be doing that in whatever I do as well in my life. So. Now, they're both an inspiration to me, and just as a heads up, at the bookstore, we do have a free book about my grandfather. So if you know how to read Korean, pick it up. Okay.
I think for me, I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a cliche kind of answer, and I think it was just developing relationships with the pastors that I've had over the course of my Christian life, and I think there definitely is a danger in putting your pastors on a pedestal, and no one should ever do that. But there was also seeing how consistent so many of them were in every aspects of their life, and you could extrapolate this to different aspects of your Christian walk. But how faithful and consistent they were, in prayer, in spending time with others, and reading the Bible, and that goes along with how faithful they are, in giving back, to the church. And so I think that's a huge influence in terms of who can you take an example from, and I think it can and should be your pastors, and how do they live their life, and then also part of the not so sexy answer being also seeing how much they struggle too. I mean, pastors don't make a lot of money. And honestly, yeah, a lot of churches' budgets, maybe like 60% of their budgets, maybe even more, go to supporting your staff. And so also wanting to be faithful in that and helping, that's one way you can support, your pastoral staff. So just a little plug for the pastors, take care of your pastors. That's honestly, kind of part of the answer and part of the truth of kind of where the money goes to.
Okay, I do want to, I have some more, but I do want to leave some time for a Q&A. So if you guys have any questions that you wanted to ask the panel, now is the time. Any questions? Me, okay. Sorry. there is the question is, how do you basically balance, right, stewardship in terms of like, at what point is it giving too much and versus too little, right? How do you find that right balance?
Yeah. So I'll try to tackle this. God does call us, or Jesus calls us to give us everything to Him, and I think that should be the goal, right? I really do think that should be the goal, and so again, with all the things that God has given us, whether it's money or resources, whatever, but yeah, there's a practical aspect of how we can give everything to Him. And I think part of it is, giving everything is giving, making sure that no sphere of your, or no, none of these areas of your life, that's becoming something that's more than God, right? And so it's more of a perspective of making sure, okay, whether I'm tithing and say I'm giving 10%, that this is not just, this is my recognition that this money is not my own, right? So I don't think it's necessarily saying, okay, with all my time, I'm going to just do church-related stuff and go and spread the gospel. But it's to make sure that you are trying your best to touch these various different facets of your life, and you're recognizing that the Lord is Lord over these, all of these aspects, and you're trying to continue to give more and more. And that should be the goal. But at the same time, making sure you're not causing yourself to be falling apart in your responsibilities and your callings as a husband, as a wife, as a person, you know, in the workplace or at church, right? There needs to be some sort of balance, right? So I think there's some wisdom in all of that. And it's not necessarily something where you say, okay, like I have to, you know, 100% of my time is church stuff or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think God calls us to give all our money to the poor or give all our money to church or anything like that. You know, I think God blesses you with talents and blesses you with abilities, blesses you with your possessions, and I think he wants us to enjoy those things, right? I don't think that it's wrong for someone to drive a nice car, live in a big house, or anything like that. But there's also that responsibility in giving to the church. And, you know, there's a lot that can be said about the tithe, 10%, and, you know, what that means. But I think the bigger thing is, why do you feel like you're giving that money? And are you saying, okay, this is the benchmark, I need to get to 10%, and you're just like, it's the strict number in your head, and you're just doing it because, you know, that's what the Bible says, and being very legalistic about it. And so it's not really a heart issue for you, it's more of just a legalistic kind of numbers issue, as opposed to really embracing that this is my act of worship, this is what I'm doing to glorify God. If you're giving 12% and you're doing it kind of grudgingly because this is what I have to do, versus someone who's struggling and gives only 2% but really gives it out of the joy of their heart, I think God's happier with the person who gives the 2% rather than the person who gives the 12%.
I think that's where accountability also comes in. Like, I think it is important to share with somebody, and I know Christine, she's one of my mentees, so we can talk more about that one-on-one. Like, it's important to, like, tell other people, these are my goals, this is what I'm doing, this is what I think God wants me to do, and other people who know you can help you assess. Well, that's really great, but what about that other responsibility you have to your studies? Like, you know, you shouldn't be, like, not going to your classes because you're doing this other thing. You should really be trying to do your best in everything you can with the limited time God has given you. And it's hard to make those decisions by yourself, so I think having someone who can help keep you accountable is a good way to figure out where those balances where those lines should be drawn.
Yeah, and I wanted to just add one quick thing in terms of what Elder Henry was mentioning about you know, in terms of enjoying some of the things that God can give you and also in house and things like that. And just to share a little story really quick is, you know, when we Janice and I were actually looking to buy a home, we're debating, should we be in San Francisco, should we be in Alameda or whatever. And fortunately, we decided upon Alameda, there's opening, we bought a house. It was a house that was probably bigger than we really needed, right? And you struggled in terms of, should we get a smaller place? Do we really need this? But at the same time, God had, triggered me to recognize that this is also an opportunity to use the house for his glory. And I remember sitting on our stairway when we had purchased the house, and I was just praying. It's like, Lord, use this house for your glory, right? Use this house, make this a house, it'll be a house of prayer, house of community. And, and that's part of the reason, which some of you probably don't know, is we want to host, we want to do that because we believe that is what God has called us to do with our house. There was one awesome story, too, where one day, out of nowhere, we get a call from someone, I don't know if it was Martin or someone, about saying, hey, we can't find a room for FIC, right? Can we use your house? And they used our house. They came in. And when I keep looking back on that, I'm like, oh, God, that was awesome, right? That God had used our house for worship. And, so all of that, it brings not just joy, but, I mean, all of that, yes, there's commitment. You know, it's not easy, right? But if you look at all of those, in terms of the fruits that can come through with that, it's been really, really just a great experience.
So the door is always open.
Yes, the door is always open. Yes.
And if you know, if you're in the East Bay, you know that this isn't just talk, right? I mean, Elder Billy and Janice, they open up their home all the time. Their CG lasts till midnight just from talking, and Janice is up with them, and you know, it's amazing to see that, right? It's very unique. We have time for one more question, so if anyone has a question they want to ask.
I think money is huge. It's huge. If you have money to give, that can make a real impact. We give regularly to the food bank, where a simple dollar can stretch really, really far. And there are a lot of kids in San Francisco who go hungry every day, especially in the summer. So they need a lot of money right before the summer. We try to make volunteering a regular part of our family rhythm. We are active with Project Peace East Bay, which is a nonprofit our church started. So this morning, the boys and I were at the public school in our neighborhood gardening and digging out weeds. I think it's really important to, like, you know, be in the community. One of the best things I did, if you don't have kids, is volunteer with City Team, which is a homeless shelter in San Francisco and Oakland. And they have a class for people who are former felons or convicted felons who are looking for jobs. And it's really hard to get a job if you have a felony conviction on your record. And so we would like teach them how to apply for a job, how to write a resume, how to interview. So there are a lot of opportunities out there that this group is uniquely situated to fulfill. So I would say, like, you know, maybe pick one thing this year that you care about. Is it homelessness? Is it food insecurity? Is it, you know, what is it? And, like, make a commitment to volunteer. Like, you know, do that with your CG, even if it's just quarterly, just to, like, get a sense of the community and figure out. So our church, we kind of have this formal partnership with Project Peace East Bay, and so we do quarterly days of service. I think for a while before we had kids, it was monthly, right, with our community group. But now that everyone in our community group has kids, it's kind of turned to a more quarterly thing. But there are endless opportunities out there. So it's a matter of picking one and making a commitment.
I think it's really important that you find, like, what it is that you are, like, what do you have a heart for? What are you passionate for? And find those kind of, like Miriam said, those kind of volunteer opportunities. For RCG, we committed, and it's been a while now, a couple of years that we've been doing it, we reach out to Open Door Mission in Oakland, where we used to just bring meal once a month, but now we're taking on the whole Sunday where we are able to come and worship with them, so we'll be putting on praise this week, this
coming Sunday, Pastor Simon's going to come and share a message, and then we'll also provide food. So I think this has been really special to RCG because we are able to share the gospel with them. We're able to give them a warm meal, but also just to build relationships with them and connect with them. And I hopefully that would be, you know, building these relationships will bring us in touch with what is needed in our community. So it's important for us to be reaching our community in that way.
All right, thank you, panel. That was awesome.